Welcome and thank you for listening to our Sunday broadcast. Join us as we receive from the incorruptible seed of the Word of God today from Pastor Robert Jackson of Word of Faith Worship Center in Concord, North Carolina.
I just wanted to say that all alumni of Life's Christian University, you are invited to the 25th annual 25th anniversary celebration there, June the 4th and the 5th. And Dr. Wingate, the president and founder of the Life's Christian University, he will be the guest speaker on that for the dinner and for the graduation. He'll be the commencement speaker for graduation. And the rehearsal dinner, it'll be that at 6:30 p.m. June the 4th, and the graduation will be at 10 a.m. on June the 5th. So come out and please get with Lisa and, you know, let her know. It's very important if you're going to attend to the alumni, let her know and stuff, because the response is supposed to have been yesterday, but we just got it. So yes, get with Lisa to make sure you get with Lisa today and let them know that you're coming or not and everything. Of course, they can reserve and get a head count and all that stuff. It's very important and stuff. So we don't want to get behind the eight ball. So please get with Lisa, let them know, all alumni and anyone else, you know, that want to attend the graduation and stuff. So that's June the 4th and the 5th. Amen.
Amen. Here before you know it. See, this is my associate pastor. This is the man that cooked all that bacon last Sunday. While you were sleeping, he wasn't messing with the hogs. He didn't do all that work, but he was cooking this bacon. I tell you, Shoney's ain't got nothing on Pastor Reed Robinson. Ain't that right, Miss Tammy? You claimed him years ago, right? And you knew what you were getting. And thank God, because if you hadn't claimed him, you know, where would we be right here? Where would we be? We'd be in a mess, wouldn't we, Wayne? We'd be in a mess. But thank you. Thank you, Reed, and all the workers that made Sunday morning sunrise service. I'm not sure if I mentioned it because I tell you what, I had a wedding that Saturday, and then the reception followed, and then kind of right into Sunday morning, and I was kind of, thank God for his glory and his anointing. Give me the strength to handle all that. But it was had a great wedding when my cousins got married, and it was beautiful. So everything God does is beautiful. Amen. So let's look around you. Look at the people around you. Amen. But anyway, today, if you're visiting with us, you can go online and catch up. About 3 weeks ago, the Lord dropped in my spirit this theme for this year about how to find, follow, and fulfill the will of God, which Brother Andrew Womack gave a study guide on this years back. And I found one of those study guides at home that Kelsey had purchased. So I started through that. We're teaching on that Wednesday night. And I just felt like it led my heart that we're going to flow with that as the Lord leads and dig in deeper. On today, we're picking back up about you're created for a purpose. You need to say that. I was created. Come on. You were created for a purpose. This comes out of Revelation 4:11, or the topic about what you were created for. Revelation 4:11 says, "Thou art worthy." This is the Apostle John. "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things, and you are a thing." Amen. Amen. You're a good thing. We'll get to that a little bit later. "For all things, you have created all things, and for thy pleasure, we were created." For God's pleasure. Now see, God created us for good things, not for bad things. That's where he takes pleasure in. He doesn't take pleasure in the devil beating us and whipping us and destroying us. That's what the devil, when he failed, that's what he became. You know, he became a evil spirit when he was separated from God, when he lost his position. Amen? You need to know that. The devil is against you. He's your enemy. And I talked about the introduction to this, and don't raise your hand, because, you know, Andrew did this at one of his Bible college conferences, but be honest with yourself. How many of you sitting here today, and I answered this question myself years ago, how many of you sitting here today do not, or you're not sure that you're doing what God's created you to do? And it's an honest question that we need to ask, and it doesn't mean you know everything he's created you to do. Oh, you don't know the end from the beginning. He does, but he's waiting on us. So if you're not even in the game, just get in. You know, I play football. I didn't like sitting on the bench. I sat on the bench a few times. That's because I think a couple of the coaches caught me smoking in the bathroom, and they set me on the bench. Why? You're not supposed to smoke in school, period. It was in designated areas, I'm sorry. But, you know, you're supposed to be an athlete. But, you know, I didn't stay on the bench. You know, thank God they gave me some mercy and grace there. But God doesn't want us sitting on the bench. He wants us in the game. And he wants us out there receiving from the Lord and being and helping others get in the game. Amen? And God don't have a problem having too many people. Amen? But talking about finding your purpose, knowing your purpose, one thing you're going to know, need to know, it just don't happen accidentally. You're not going to find your purpose in God accidentally. And I think it's a question every believer today, as believers, we should be able to answer yes to that. I know what God's created me for. That's our goal. That should be our goal. Proverbs 18:22. Is my wife here? Or is she teaching? Okay. Well, I'll just mention this briefly because she wasn't here last time I mentioned this. But Proverbs 18:22. Maybe some of you guys can tell her I mentioned this. Whosoever finds a wife, the Bible says, finds a, come on, man, help me. Well, what? That's weak. Finds a good thing. So women, if we call you a thing, don't get upset. It's my thing. Do what you want to do. I got a good thing. Amen. Finds a good thing and obtains favor of the Lord. Thank God for the wife he gave me, and God gave me favor with that. So if we're going to accomplish the things God intended us, wait a minute. Did I skip something here? Wait a minute. Let me make sure I didn't skip nothing there. Okay. I think I'm good. I want to make sure. Yeah. I'll leave that out then. But number two, if we're going to accomplish the things God has intended for us to achieve here on the earth, you know, as long as we got a body, we're here on the earth. Once we leave our body, we're out of here. So if we're going to accomplish what God's got us to do, we've got to do it now. Say now. And God has a specific purpose for each one of his children. Remember, you're not God's adults. We are his children. I don't want to grow up. I'm a Toys R Us kid. And I can faithfully say about Rodney Laughlin, he is a kid in an adult's body. I'm talking about one of my family here. Because he loves to do things. When he goes to Disney World, he'll ride everything. And he's a little bit older than I am, just a little bit. But why? Because we're not, children like to do things that adults sometimes don't like. Well, we're God's children, and he wants us to be blessed. We sang about it, man. We confessed it this morning, right? We're called to be blessed. So God has a purpose for us, and we must become hungry enough to seek him and discover what that specific, see, there's a specific purpose for each one of us. Now, I'm going to talk about me this morning. I'm not going to talk about you unless the Lord, if you fit in, you just fit in. Amen. But for way too long in my life, I was playing, remember this, hide and seek. Remember playing hide and seek when you were little? I was playing hide and seek from the Lord way too long. Instead of seeking his plan. I said instead of seeking his plan. Jeremiah 29:13-14 says, and you shall seek me, the Lord says, through the prophet Jeremiah, and find me when you shall search for me with just a little bit of your heart. Oh, is that not what it says? So you need to read what it says. When you seek me, you'll find me with all your heart when you search for me. And the Lord says, I will be found of you, saith the Lord, and I will turn away your captivity. You ever been captive to anything? And I will gather you from all nations and from all the places whither I have driven you. Now, the Lord's specifically talking to his people, Israel, but we are spiritually his children. Amen. And I was hiding from him, but he knew exactly where I was. When God came back in Genesis in the garden looking for Adam after he had sinned, Adam was hiding and his wife was hiding, but God knew where they were. He saw them. They were playing hide and seek with God, but God knew exactly where they were. Amen. And he knew what they had done. But it had to be confessed so it could be undone. Amen? You understand that? Jesus had to come. That's the way it gets undone. So, thank you, Jesus, for your mercy. I said, for your mercy. For loving me when I didn't even give you the time of day. I love the song. I think Tammy sings this. Lord, you've been good to me. You've been better to me than I've been to myself. I think it's a song we sing here. He's been good to me better than I've been to myself. But I'm pretty sure all of us at some point in our life have asked this question. What am I here for? What's my purpose? Me, as growing up with one brother, one older brother, three older sisters, I'm the baby of the family. Me asking that question, you know, you always look up to your older brothers, your older sisters. Most of us, amen, we should. That's our elders in the church. Look up to your elders. But I always looked to my brothers, my older siblings, and I trusted that they knew what they were doing. And what they were doing, I guess that's just what I need to do. You know, it's kind of like habits form. You just kind of go with the habit, and you habitually do what you see. You know, parents, our children will act like we act. Amen? Because that's what as they grow up, they imitate God. That's what we want. To imitate God is deal children. So I was just imitating what I saw my brothers and sisters do. I knew they loved me. Sometimes they didn't act like they loved me when I was growing up, but I knew they loved me. Amen. Because I wanted to play, but, you know, I'm the little brother. You know, I wanted to play, but when I was ready to play, everybody's ready to quit playing. I'm like, come on. You know, I just came around the house and they're playing rolly bat. Y'all remember rolly bat? Everybody played rolly bat. You hit the ball and you throw it in from the field. If it hits the bat, you get to come in and hit. Well, I couldn't throw it as far as they were. I'm a little old boy. So I guess they didn't want to play with me as much. But God saw me. God noticed me. See, don't you get upset if people don't notice you. God notices you. Don't put your value in other people and what they think. You need to go what God thinks about you. And he said when he created you, you came out of Adam. You came from Eve, right? That's where you got to go back to. If you don't believe that, stick around here a little bit. We'll help you. You came from God who created Adam and Eve. I mean, we go all the way back. Some people like to check their genealogy and all these things and pay good money to find out where you came from. I just take it all the way back to the garden, save my money. That's okay. It's okay to know different areas where you go. That's fine. But you might not like some of your relatives. You know, I said, you know, we got the in-laws and we got the outlaws. But you got to love them outlaws too, right? You go to them family reunions, you got to go make sure you talk to them too, right? Tell them about how God's been working in your life. Amen? That's what Jesus said, do. So I was just following the pattern of what I was seeing as I was growing up. Get a job. Come on. Get a job. God said, work this garden, Adam. Work is a good word. That's a four-letter word, but it's a good word. Work. God gave you the hands. He can't bless something if you don't do something with them, right? Get a job. Make money. I didn't add this. Get you a car. I had a 1967 GTO. I bought for $1,000 back then. Mom gave me the loan. Went to the savings and loan to get it. Put it on, and every time I had to pay Mama back. Amen? And I valued that car more because it was my money going into it, not just Mama's. And Mama wrote down every. She had a little thing she wrote down. She didn't have a credit card. She had a checking account. She wrote down every payment. And when I, and she, you know, she didn't even add interest. I tell you what, that's something Mama loved you right there. Plus, she fed me, she clothed me, she gave me gas money. You know, actually, she gave me lunch money to go to school, and I would take and give my gas money. That became gas money because I hungered more to ride in a car than to ride the bus. Come on. You know, when you get 16, you don't want to ride that big yellow bus. You want to drive your car, impress your ladies. Lady. I was working on one. Lady. Amen. I say, I'm telling my story now. So you get a job, you get married, you get your own car, your own vehicle, and it don't have to be a Cadillac. That's the goal, but you need to get what you can afford at the time. Don't overdo it. And then you get married, right? Raise a family, and just do the best you can with what you got. And then you just die. You know, you do the best you can, you live and you die. And I believed there was a God. I just didn't focus on death because I was scared of it. Because I wasn't sure. I didn't know Christ. Amen? Well, I don't know how it worked out for you, but it didn't work out too well for me. Just doing that. Not because that wasn't a God plan. But for me, I just didn't include God in the plan. It was all about me, what I wanted. And what I thought I wanted and what I deserved. And I never gave credit for good things that was happening in my life. I called it luck, coincidence. Because that's what you do when you don't know about God. You just give credit to something else. But Mark chapter 8, verse 35 and 37 says, you want to know what it says? You need to get your Bible out and read it sometimes. And we'll put it on the screen here, but you need to make sure you got you a Bible. You can get it on a Bible app. You can have it on your iPad, iPhone, but you better have it in your heart. Amen. Because it won't be long, soon, very soon, the government's coming after everything. I'm talking about the God of the government, the devil. That's eventually, it's going to be his system here on the earth, but not us. Not Christians, come on. Because we don't live in his system, we live in God's system. Amen? We do it God's way, not man's way. Now, we obey the laws of the lands while we're here. We ain't going to be here all the time. God's going to get us out of here, amen? Then this place is really going to see what it's like without Christians on this earth. But until then, we got to find and we got to seek and save those that are lost. But Mark 8, 35, 37 says, for whosoever I'm looking at a whosoever. Whosoever's out here. Jesus, he does not respect persons. Black, yellow, brown, blue, it don't matter. He respects, he created us. And he put color in us. Amen. Amen. And I tell you what, you can go home and you can watch this video. And if I take the color out, it just don't look as good with color. I tell you what, this world don't look good without color. Amen. That's where we got to stand. I look, but that, you know why the light's off up here right now? See, y'all will enjoy this. I know Kelsey will. See, I go home and I edit these videos. I look better with not so much light beaming down. Why? Because my head's a little white and tan. Now, really, my head's not white. We talked about this before, didn't we, Tammy? This is white. What am I? Off-white. Amen. A little off-white. But when I turn that light on, and the camera, that high-def camera hits me, I look a little bit like Moses when he came down from the mountain. It said they had to veil his face because the top of my head is pretty white. Reed doesn't have that problem. I've edited. I've watched Reed. Why? He's a little bit darker than me. But you know what God sees? He sees life. He sees love. And he kind of gets tickled when I start editing and seeing my white head. Why? Because God has a sense of humor too. He created us. Amen? And see, this is how we got to bring it down to life. You want to enjoy life? You need to enjoy God. He's the creator of life. So if you're a whosoever, Mark says, whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whoever shall lose his life for my sake, this is Jesus speaking, and Mark heard it and he's repeating it. But whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and not just my sake, and for the gospel's sake, the gospel is what Jesus was saying and telling us and teaching us. Love those that don't love you when you're telling them they love you. Keep loving them anyway. Why? Because you're bringing love to them. Now, they can reject it, but maybe not all the time. One day they'll receive it. I rejected God's love for many years, but people didn't give up on me. God never gives up on nobody. So, for what shall profit a man or woman? For what shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? So looking back in my life, I do thank the Lord for all those Christian friends, and you can probably do the same thing. I'm talking about before I was born again, before I knew this Christ of the Bible. But I thank God for those Christian friends and the parents that allowed me to come home to their home because they knew my home life wasn't too good because, you know, you're supposed to know certain things. Mom was divorced. Mom went through a lot of bad stuff. But the ones who invited me over after church, because Mom got us back in church and when her and Dad separated. And after church, I get to go hang out with my buddies. Some of them were, I remember one, I won't mention names just for, they might not want me to, but he was the only child. Don't raise your hand if you're an only child. But man, he had a lot of stuff. He had a lot of stuff. He had all the cool stuff. He had a dirt bike, and he had all these video games. He was the only child. Didn't have nobody. He wasn't conceited, you know what I mean? He just had all the good stuff. He was the only one. But I'd go to his house, but then I'd go to some that had brothers and sisters, and I could tell the difference, man. There was a difference there, but one of the families, the Pierces, I'll say their name because the Pierce family. Why did I say their name? Because they were Cowboy fans. I don't know if my dad was a Cowboy fan or not. We had a black and white TV, but I remember watching the Arthur Smith show. I remember watching mainly the Dallas Cowboys play on that black and white TV, watching Roger Staubach and cheering them on. I remember Hee Haw. I remember Hee Haw was on there. But I mainly remember the Pierces because their dad worked for Exxon Oil Company. He wasn't home except maybe on the weekends. And when the NFL, when the Cowboys were on, they had a color TV. Come on now. We had a black and white. They had the Zenith. Y'all remember the Zenith consoles, the heavy TVs, color TV. Man, I saw them Cowboys. That made my day. Sunday afternoon, their mom fed us, and we watched the game, and we go outside and throw the ball. You know, they had older brothers, but they were Christians. Amen. I was watching. I was at peace. I wasn't at fear. I was enjoying it, and I was learning something. I was seeing something. I was seeing Christ being displayed that wasn't being displayed at my home, not because of my mom or my siblings. It was because of the devil. You just blame it on the devil. My dad was full of the devil. When he was drunk, when he was sober, I didn't seem much sober, so I can't talk about the sober days, amen? But he never was there a lot. You know what I mean? Mom was there. So she became my mom and dad. But I never gave up on my dad. So I'm thankful. And a lot of you guys can probably sit here and can witness to this. And it might not be extreme, but we've all had those places to where we didn't give God place. But God made sure that he showed us his love and his mercy through other people's lives, through your friends. If you never received Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not going to stand before Almighty God and say, Lord, you never gave me a chance. And it ain't going to happen. There's so many chances he gives us. And I'm thankful for their godly witness and showing me how family was supposed to be. Amen? They planted seeds of faith that would eventually get down in this hard heart. And sometimes your heart can be hard, not because of what you've done, but what's been done to you. It wasn't even your fault. You know, I used to work construction, put on shingles. Man, we put on, me and Jerry Stubbs, we could roof. I could put about 3 square on an hour. That's pretty good. You make about $15 a square. So I do the math, right? I'm making about $45 an hour, hammering that nail. But, you know, I was hitting my fingers and all these things. What was I going with that? What was I talking about? Help me, Tammy, draw me back. Purpose. God created me for a purpose. Hard heart. See, I look at my passion, and the Lord, he helps me. Your heart can be hard. Well, see, you start roofing and you start shingling. If you got soft hands like I got right now, before long you're going to start having calluses. Why? Because you're working it. You're working it. You're working it. And it becomes hard and callous. And you get to where it don't hurt anymore. You can hit your finger and you're like, well, I'm making some money here. You know, you don't even feel it. Well, you can, if you keep rejecting the word of God, you can get to where you don't care about sin. You could care less. Why? You don't feel, you reject his presence and your heart gets hard. And it gets hard. But you know what? All you need is a word from God. All you need is just spend some time in his presence, and God can take that stony heart that's been built up and he'll yank it out and give you a heart of flesh. It's when you turn to God, it's when he turns your heart. And man, oh gosh, he got in there and he took that old stony heart out. But what happened first? People were planting seeds, putting seeds out there. Seeds of faith that eventually got into the soil of my heart. Because the seed is where the life is stored, in the seed. But without the soil, without the earth, what happens to the seed? If it's alone, nothing happens. Life is in the seed, but without the soil, without the earth, it never gets drawn. That life never gets drawn out of that pumpkin seed or that okra seed or that whatever seed you want. My wife likes tomatoes. I like okra. Plant them both. Amen. And you don't have to argue. You eat your tomatoes and I'll eat my okra. But I like fried okra. That's the only way I can eat okra. But see, I'm different than you are. Amen? We're different. But the seed, the okra, is the same. The okra doesn't matter who eats it, Wayne, because it's an okra seed. Amen? I said it's an okra seed. But what matters is the soil that it's planted in. Because you can have a lot of okra. Well, if you plant in shallow ground, you can have just a little bit of okra, and it'll just dry up and wither away. God wants to get deep in your heart. Amen? He wants to get rooted and grounded in your heart. Because that's where the good stuff is when the roots get down in the ground. But you see, as a kid, I knew there was a God. I would look up at the old puffy clouds in the skies when I'm out there hiding underneath the little cedar trees, chasing rabbits. This is what I used to do. You remember the rabbit hollers they used to make? Put apples inside, and they made out of wood. Dad used to make those. He was a carpenter. Now, they didn't look too good, Dad. But they caught rabbits. Amen. You ever seen them read? See here, I'm teaching something that nobody's heard before. A rabbit holler. I'll draw a picture of it. I won't right now. I won't. What was it? Rabbit trap. I call it a holler trap. It rabbit box. Yeah. You put apples in it, and you set it a trap, and that rabbit will come in, and it gets it, and then Dad kills the rabbit, cleans it, and we have rabbit. It was only a rabbit holler in Mooresville. That's right. I guess I'll have to maybe edit this program. But I, as a kid, I saw these things, so I played, and I'm trying to communicate with God the only way I know how, but I'm missing it somehow. I'm not seeing. I'm not making the connection. And I don't care. There'll be people that say they don't believe in God, but you go to Romans 1:20, and it says the heavens, even the heavens in Psalms talks about the heavens declare there's a God. Romans 1:20 says none of us will stand before God without excuse, because the earth declares his glory. The earth cries out that there's a creator. There's only one person that says there's not a God. And that's the only time in the Bible you can call that person a fool. Because the Bible says that fool has said in his heart, there is no God. You need to talk to that fool. Amen. You need to tell him about Jesus. So he won't stay a fool no more. I used to be a fool. Well, I wouldn't say I was that too much of a fool. I believed there was a God. I just didn't know how to communicate. And I knew that the fear that I was living under and my family was living under and my mom was living under, I knew that that was not God's will. See, we're talking about God's purpose. You're created for a purpose. I was not created to live under fear as a child of when my daddy was coming home, who he was going to beat next. Come on. You were not created for that. Nobody in this earth was created to live in that type of fear or torment. Amen? That's not God's plan. Never has been, never will be. But I just didn't know how to communicate what was going on. But I can stand here, and I'll tell my age, 54 years later, I can stand here on this solid rock I stand and proclaim and declare to you that I know my Father God loved me then, and he loves me now. And he loves everyone in this world the same way. They just need to know how. And he has sent us to tell them the how. How do I come to know this Savior? How do I communicate to God? How can I make this connection to this great God you talk about? It's the God of the universe. But even then, I knew he loved me. And see, my Father loves this world, and he has nothing but good desires for his children. Remember, we're his children, amen? Even, God even loves the disobedient kids. See, I'm talking to us, even though I'm talking to everybody, right? Because we're all children, right? God even loves and loved my disobedience and my rebellious. Yeah. Everybody would look at me on the outside sometimes and say, but you was the best one of the family, right? You was the good one. I was the baby of the family. Now, my brothers and sisters tell me I was spoiled and I got more than they did, and it might have been right. But I still had times that I was disobedient, and I had whoopings to let me know that I was disobedient. Back then, we called them whoopings. Amen. Whoopings. But I'd rather mama whoop me than daddy come home and whoop me. Because I knew mama loved me. I didn't know mama loved me. I wasn't sure about daddy, but I knew mama loved me. Please, mama, don't tell daddy I took his butcher knife and chopped wood with it. You know, the knives you sharpen up and I'm chopping wood and putting chunks in it. Hey, my older brother took a beating for that. Lord, forgive me. But that's brother, my brother laid down his life for me that day. Because my daddy whooped him for something I did. Well, Jesus took the penalty of my sin and whooped the devil. Come on, you need to hear that. Amen. Because why? I'm his kid. Devil. Jesus don't like the devil whooping up on God's kids. Amen. He showed us what he thought about the devil. He healed the sick. He raised the dead. He spoke life. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. But God even loves the disobedience and the rebellious ones. Why? Because God is love. That's all he has, is love and mercy. Amen? Now, he don't like what you're doing, but he loves you regardless. That's called grace. Amen? That's called grace. James 1:17 says this way. I'm talking about my Father. He's a good, good Father. James 1:17 says, every good, say good, every good gift and every perfect gift, God calls you perfect. Perfect doesn't mean you mess up. Perfect means he created you, Wayne. He created you, Terry. That's perfect. God did it perfectly. Amen. He is the creator. What we do has nothing to do with what God did. Come on. What God did was right. Perfect. Amen. Every good, every perfect gift is from above. Well, let me ask you a question. Are you from above? Are you from beneath? Good question. Maybe another sermon deeper for another day. If you're a Christian, Reed, will you get me a Kleenex? If you're a Christian, come on, if you're a Christian, y'all need to be happy. Oh, happy day. I got born again. You're a Christian. Oh, happy day. Come on, I'm good. More than enough, Reed. Thank you. He wanted me to take the, I was trying to take the whole box, but he wouldn't let loose of it. If you're a Christian, where are you seated? Come on, that's weak. If you're a Christian, where are you seated? In heavenly places. Come on. In Christ. I wanted two more words. So that means you're above, right? You're not beneath. Not in your body. You're beneath in your body, but you're not in your body. This body is not yours. It's been bought with a price. This is God's property. Amen? You have dual citizenship down here and in heaven. So that means there's no sickness in heaven, right? No darkness, no diabetes, no high blood pressure, no crippling apparatus. None of that's in heaven, right? So don't be believing for it down here. That's how you get healed. That's how you walk in health. Amen. Am I there yet? Not totally, but I'm working on it. Amen. See, we're looking for a confession. Who is the priest of your confession? Jesus. So what should I be saying to Jesus? Thank you, Jesus, for healing me. Thank you, Jesus, for delivering me. Thank you, Jesus. See, that's my confession to my high priest. You know what Jesus says? Amen. Amen. He says, so be it. Amen. Receive, walk in it. Amen. Amen. I'm not going to finish this today. I'm sorry. I'm not going to finish what I got wrote down, but that's all right. We might sing a few more happy songs, Wayne, Tammy. Why? Because God is good and his mercy endures forever. I pulled up Leslie, your daughter, this morning on Facebook. She put it out there. She says she just gets up in the morning saying, I will rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say, I will rejoice. She's getting a confession out there of how good God is. See, you got to wake up in the morning. I will wake up early in the morning. Will I seek thee? That's what the Bible teaches me. Early in the morning. I'm a pretty early riser, 6:30. When I'm waking up, I shouldn't be thinking about what happened yesterday. I need to be praising God what he's going to do for me today. Amen. And if you'll do that, you'll walk in it and he'll walk with you. And you, how, the Bible says, how can two of you agree, walk together unless you agree? God's not going to agree when you think destruction's coming from him. He's not going to amen with you. He's walking with you, but he's not going to give you the power to overcome if you're thinking destruction's coming from him. He can't agree with a lie. He's a covenant God. He wrote it in the blood. The blood says, you're free. Jesus said, I set you free. My DNA does not, I'm not looking at my genes. I ain't got no jeans on today, but I do wear jeans. I love doctors. I'm not against doctors. Y'all know that, don't you? We're not against doctors, but they're looking at my natural genes. But after I leave the doctor's office, you know what? I change genes. Amen. I change what the doctor said to what I am a spirit. I am created in the image of God, and I have no curse. The Bible says Jesus became a curse for me. Amen. On the cross. So Jesus reversed the curse on the cross. Amen? Yes. I believe in the cross. I believe in the power of the cross. Yes. So that power of his word is greater than the power of what I'm living on this earth. We're all going to have to die, but we don't have to die sick. We don't have to die broke. We can leave, I don't like to say die. We can transition saying, oh, happy day. My bills are paid. My children have inherited everything I had. Why? You don't need it. You leave it to them. That the Bible says God takes pleasure in the prosperity, not the poorness of his people. His goal is for me to leave inheritance to my children. Children, I ain't had none of them yet. Children. I ain't had none get married yet, but that doesn't change God's plan. So I need to be confessing it now, right? Amen. Thank you, Jesus. I'm talking about the good gifts, the good Father, the perfect gifts. They're from above. They come down from the Father of lights, in whom there is no variableness of lightness. There's no shadow of turn. There's no darkness in God. You can't find a millimeter of darkness in God. He is light. Yes. Light. He's light. So, where do I find this purpose? Where do I find this purpose, disciples? Where have we got to find who I am and where I'm going? Where have we got to look? Well, mine's still at home again. The B-I-B-L-E. It's a Bible app. That's the book for me. See, I wrote down, I didn't type this out. Yeah, I did. I typed it, but the printer printed it. Everything I wanted to say is in my notes. Amen. It came from the Word of God. It came from the Holy Scriptures. But what did I do? I'm filtering it through my heart, and I'm releasing it to you in a way that you, God wants to speak to you today. Amen. Have ears to hear. Hear what He's saying today. He's saying He loves you, and He has created you for a greater purpose than what you can imagine. Amen. But don't ever get past love. Love is the greatest purpose. Love one another. Jesus said there's no greater commandment than this. Love God with what? All your heart, all your mind, all your strength. And if you do that, if you just love God, love will flow from you. God can't be mocked. If you love Him, love will show up in your life. God will manifest in your life, in every area of your life, spirit, soul, and body. It might not happen overnight. He's there, but it's going to take Him a while to get to work through your brain, you know, trash in, trash out. I put a lot of trash in for 30-some years that God had to clear that garbage out of there. Amen? So where do we find this great purpose? We find it in the B-I-B-L-E. That's basic instructions before leaving earth. That's what the Bible's for. You want to live a blessed life? It's in His Word. It's a big book, but we serve a big God. Amen? It needs to be bigger. Everything's not in there that needs to be contained, but there's enough. That's enough to get you everything you need, because the Spirit is what the Holy Spirit is there to supply all your need. So the Bible is the place where we will discover who we are. I like to say who, not what. I'm a who, not a what. You know, you say, what is that? You know, what is that? That's a lot of times I say that when Sherry used to cook me some food. She put some green stuff on there, like Brussels sprouts. Or I said, what is that? But you know what, Wayne? I got to where I like that. Why? I put butter and salt. I take those Brussels sprouts and put it in some good old butter and salt. And it tastes a lot better with butter and salt. But I eat broccoli now. Broccoli. Yeah, I've graduated. Why? You find a wife, you find a good thing. Amen. And she'll put some things on your plate. You'll question that verse. You'll have to go back to it and read it. Lord, You said I find a good thing. I was a meat and potatoes man. Lord, what is this on my plate? He said, eat it and shut up. Amen. Did you cook it? No, sir. He said, well, God will say, eat it and shut up then. Try it. I tell you what, one day we're going to sit before the marriage supper of the Lamb. And whatever they put on my plate, that's going to be one day I'm going to smile. I'll say, somebody take a picture. I'm eating every bit. Amen. I'm going to learn to like it. If God puts something on my plate, I'm going to learn to like it. But I tell you what? Even tomatoes. Praise You, Jesus. Amen. You know what? It'll be in a big old bottle of ketchup, and it'll say tomato. It won't even say ketchup. It'll say tomatoes on it, Wade. It's going to be good. Everything that God has is good. Amen. If you get anything out of this message today, and I know you will, leave this place knowing God is good, and He has good things in store for us. Amen. That world is your store. As soon as you walk out that door, that world is your store. You ever went to the store? Remember going to the stores as kids, man, to the nickel dime stores? We had them uptown, Jim. Your mama worked there at Belk's, right beside the 5 and dime store. I'd go in there, I want to get me one of those wooden airplanes. You put a rubber band on, you reel it up, and you let it fly. It might have been, I don't know, it might have been a quarter back then. To have a quarter, you were rich, buddy. But I was just looking and wanting. But I only got what mama said I could have. Why? Mama had the money. Come on. God's got all the power you need. He's got all the money. He don't have money. He's got all the power. Come on. Come on. Because you don't need the money. You need the power. You get the power, you'll have the money. I tell you, look to the world. If you got money, you got power. It's opposite in God's kingdom. You got power, the finances will be blessed. Your relationship will be blessed. See, it ain't about the money. It's about the power. And the power is love. It's God. He's got all the power you need. He got all the love you need. And we need to plug into that power source and never put you some RTV on it and never be disconnected from that power source. Don't get unplugged. Stay plugged in. There's times you want to unplug. You say, Lord, I can't love that person. They never done anything for me. Exactly. You're in the perfect will of God, right? You are doing what God called you to do if you're doing that. Look at Jesus on the cross. He'd never sinned, but what did he do? Father, forgive them. Forgive them. They don't know what they do. Jesus knew what he was doing. Come on, he knew what he was doing. God knew what he was doing. He was saving mankind that could care less about God. He was doing the impossible on the cross. I couldn't see it yet. But other people that got born again and gave their life to Jesus, they were casting a shadow on me, Terry. They were casting that love on me. And I started, for many, many years, let me get on. I'm rambling here. I'm in the message, but I'm off course a little bit. So I want to remind you of this life-changing, say life-changing, passage. It's in the Bible. This one is in the book of Luke. Luke 4, verses 16 through 20. This is where Jesus, after 30 years, you know, Jesus took on a body, was born of a virgin, took on that body and grew. For 30 years, I'm taking you 30 years in advance. Jesus, after 30 years of faithful, say faithful church attendance. See, being faithful to church attendance doesn't get you to heaven, but it'll get you blessed. Amen. It'll get you blessed on the way. Jesus was going to church as his custom was. As Mary said, Jesus, whatever time their time was to get up, ringing the bell. And I'll pick on Rodney because it's here. I get to use him as an example. He treated his kids good, man. I was over there dating his wife's sister. Might have been married at the time. But I'd go over there. Their kids, when they sent their kids to school, they had breakfast before they went to school. Rodney or Bonnie Joe, whichever one, they were cooking breakfast. Toast, eggs, you know. My kids, I'm in the bedroom. Get up, get up. I wasn't cooking them nothing. I actually did cook Rowan breakfast the other morning. Well, I wasn't at work. I'm kind of on injured reserve. And you know what I did? I got up and cooked breakfast for him. Why? The Lord told me to get up. Amen. Get up. He hadn't been in school. They've been locked down for almost a, you know, he's going to school now. Get up and give me some good. You know what they serve you at school. Come on. You know what they serve. It ain't mama's food. And I was kind of a little disappointed, Jim. He only ate half of it because I drove the truck the next day and half of that bacon and egg and cheese is sitting there in the seat. I was a little bit disappointed. But, you know, praise God, he ate half of it. Amen. 30, 60, he got 60, he got 50 plus. So it was worth getting up for half of it, right, Wayne? But, you know, it was getting up that made the difference, that somebody cared enough to get up. So you see what God does? It ain't about what you ate. It's about the heart issue. It comes down to the heart. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. So, Luke 4, 16 through 20. Jesus, up until this point, 30 years old, going to church every day, or as their custom was. That might have been Wednesday night Bible study, but on the Sabbath, they were in church. They were in the synagogue. And Jesus came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. That'd be if he brought up in Mooresville, Lincolnton, Statesville, Concord. And as his custom was, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, and Jesus stood up. Sometimes we'll have you stand up as we read the word, or sit down. And Jesus stood up, and there they delivered unto him a book. That was a scroll. That was a book. It wasn't broken down in scripture and verse and context. We got it nice. It didn't have search. He didn't have an iPad, iPhone, but he had the word. Amen. He had the main thing. And they gave him a book to read. And Jesus found, and there was delivered unto him the book of the prophet Isaiah. And when Jesus had opened the book, he found the place. Well, let me ask you a question. What if Jesus decided, I'm just going to stay home today, Mama? Would Jesus have found the place? Would the scroll have been handed to Jesus? No, it would have been handed to somebody else. Somebody else would have got blessed. But I'm throwing this out here. That wouldn't have happened. Jesus never sinned. Amen. Mama said, get up. He was already up, ready to go with his hair combed. Amen. He had his clothes on waiting for Mama to get up. Why? He was the Word. Amen. Jesus is the Word. He was learning, though. He was finding out who he was. And Jesus said, and when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written. And it said, the Spirit of the Lord, and the Spirit of the Lord is in this place. It's in you if you're born again. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. See, Christ in you, but he wants to be on you. There's a difference. Amen. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me. He has anointed me, poured himself on me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord, which we know as the year of Jubilee. Jubilee, jubilation. And verse 20, and he closed the book. If I had my Bible, I'd close the book. You say, service is over. No, it was just, service is just beginning. Amen. Y'all know me too well, don't you? Just because the pastor closes his book or looks at the clock means absolutely nothing. Amen. I've learned this gracefully from some of my pastors. Amen. I don't wear a watch. But I think Rodney get tickled at this. I've been with GE 15 years and they sent me an award program. And I looked through all the rewards I could get. And the only thing that really stuck out was a watch. I said, you know what? I'm going to get and I'm going to wear it. Even if I look at it and don't pay attention to it, I'm going to say, y'all know what time it is? Just because I got it. But you know what I like to say? Just like we said, we sung it this morning. Watch and pray. For you know not when the Lord shall call us away. Amen. So if you're going to wear anything, I don't care if you don't have nothing. You still need to be watching and praying. That doesn't mean you're on your knees. That just means you're watching. You are looking. Because you, just like that, Jesus, the trumpet could sound. And you want to make sure you have ears to hear that trumpet. Amen. And if you got the word in you, you're going to hear. Amen. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a trumpet. Thank you, Jesus. So Jesus, he closed the book and he gave it back to the minister and he sat down. But he sat down different this year. This time he sat down different. Just like the glory was upon Moses. What did it say? The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He said that day the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jesus enough to where Wayne, they could see it on him. They could see it. People's watching you. They're watching your Christian walk. I did. I watched people. And I saw the false and I saw the real. And see, you always want to go with what you see, you know, the real stuff. Amen? Will the real Jesus stand up? Well, that day, the real Jesus sat down. He sat down. But they saw something. Because look, and it says, and the eyes, I believe it was even in the way he said it that day. Because when the Spirit of the Lord comes upon you, he came upon me over 20 years ago. I ain't never been the same since. And don't plan on getting any better. Amen. You know what I'm talking about. I'm going to get better in God, but I ain't going to the old man. I ain't going back to the old way. Why? It ain't good. It's bad. But Jesus will make you gooder and gooder. That's bad English, but that's good Holy Ghost talk. And Jesus had sat down, and their eyes of them in the synagogue, they were fastened on him. They'd seen him come in this place for 20 years, 30 years. But this time they saw a change, something different. And Jesus began to say to them, when God comes in your life, you'll have something to say. And I'll tell you what, it better be, if I'm your pastor, it better be good. Amen? I said, it needs to be good, because that's all God is good. And he began to say to them, this day, Jesus said, this scripture is fulfilled in your ears. And all the congregation jumped up and shouted and praised God and worshiped him. Now, if you're Bible readers, that ain't what happened. They were, who do you think you are? Uh-huh. The flesh, you can't worship. When we worship God, we don't worship him in the flesh. I worship him, come on, in spirit and in truth. Jesus was the word. He was the truth. That day he spoke it, and that day the spirit of truth came upon him. The Holy Ghost is the third person of the Godhead. And that day he set upon Jesus enough that the whole crowd could see something's different today. But only those that had ears to hear could hear. Don't leave this place with ears stopped up. Hear what Jesus is saying. Now, if you're reading the Bible, turn to Romans 12, 1 and 2, and we're getting close to the, we're coming in for a landing today. We're coming close, Colette. The guy in the tower says, go one more round. That means give the pastor a little bit more time. Romans 12, 1 and 2. Now, we got all early up last Sunday now. Come in here, so y'all got to give me some grace today. I slept a little bit longer. I got a little bit more. No, I don't. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, Paul was speaking to us Christians. He says, it is possible to commit our lives to the Lord for the purpose of salvation and yet not be yielded to the Lord in our daily lives. Amen. I seen that. I didn't want that in Christians. I seen that. No names, but I seen that in church. I seen the youth leader. I seen him go to church. I seen him. I was one of those youth. But then I seen him at Pizza Hut ordering beer for all of his buddies and drinking. Now, I'm not judging him, but I'm seeing that ain't right. I knew it wasn't right. That's leadership. I knew that as a youth, not even being born again, I knew it wasn't right in my heart. I knew Jesus wouldn't do that. There was a difference. There was a change in my life. That's what Paul's saying. I believe he was born again. You know, I don't judge. I don't know that person's heart, but I'm looking for some fruit. Jesus said, you'll know the Christian by their love. I knew that my daddy drank alcohol and he didn't come home and love me. Now, some people can be different. I'm not saying, but that alcohol turned him completely mad. I mean, he was possessed, but it was crazy. I'm talking about he drank the hard stuff too. Moonshine. I think he owned some of the cars and maybe drove them. He made it carry some of that stuff. That's back when it was, well, we won't talk about that. You understand what I'm saying here? There's some, and I'm not saying there's some that's not born again, but we're looking for fruit. When I got saved and got born again, the things I knew in my heart I was doing in my flesh wasn't right. I asked God to help me change it because I couldn't see myself. I knew I was called to minister. I didn't know how, but I could not see myself ministering with a Bud Light in my hand. Do you see? It wasn't in the picture, so I asked God for help. Now, he helped me because when the power of God hit me at West A Church of God, I didn't have no more desire for alcohol no more. It just left. I had no more desire for that. That was just like a sociable drink for me. But the smoking, I had to work on it. Me and God, we had to have some conversations about that because I enjoyed it, I thought. My body enjoyed it. My spirit man didn't. See, your spirit man don't cough. Your natural man coughs. Your spirit man, once you get born again, he's like Jesus. See, when I leave this place, you're going to see the body, but you ain't going to see, Rob, you're looking at the real person. The real person's only in here, Reed. You can't see me. My spirit man is a spirit. God's a spirit. He doesn't have a natural body. He has a spiritual body. My mother has a spiritual body right now, and it does not desire anything that would harm it. There's no desires for that anymore. Amen? And I asked Mom at one time. She quit smoking. But I asked her one time, and this may have been 10 years ago. I said, Mom, do you still have a desire to smoke? And she was on. She said, yeah, I'd still like to have one. But she had enough willpower, and she knew it wasn't. It was going to really. She had COPD, and she was battling a lot of things, but she said, I ain't going to do it. Amen? She had enough strength and willpower there. But she see that desire. The only thing that's going to take that desire from you is you got to desire God more. Amen? And when you desire him more, what's Paul saying? What did we read about? If I love my life, I'll lose it. But if I give that life away for Christ's life, that's when I truly start living. And that's when those desires will change. God will put his desires in you, and you'll have no more desire for that. So I remember when I was smoking, I wanted to quit. I took the scripture that says, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me as I was smoking. We might end with this. And it took me months. But I kept saying, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And the numbers started going down. The packs, I was up to about 2.5 packs a day. But then I'd throw them things out in the field as I was mowing for like 3 hours. I'd throw that carton out there in the field. I could do all things through Christ who strengthens me. My body is a temple of the Holy Ghost. On the third round, I was getting off the lawnmower and getting them cigarettes. I wasn't there yet, but I kept confessing. See, keep confessing what you want. Don't say what you have. I was confessing what I wanted. I wanted to be free. And I kept saying that, and I kept saying that. And then it got to where I had a toothpick. I didn't have no Winston lights. Marlboros. I smoked different, depending on how much they were. Cigarettes, they cost you a lot of money. And then finally, one day, I had a toothpick. I kept it in my pocket. But I had the word in my heart. And it came to a point, and there were some cigars in between there. And I hated cigars, so you know I was believing on God to puff a cigar. My wife doubly hated cigars. But it wasn't about my wife, it was about Jesus. I wanted to please Jesus. I wanted to do everything I could because of what he did for me. And I kept working on it. He kept working on me. And one day I was free. I was free. I could sit in front of people smoking. You know what? I would politely walk over here, but I didn't want to smell it no more. I love the people, but you know what? I love God bigger. And he gave me that power. We talked about the power. The power's in the word of God. But you got to take that word and you got to quit just saying it and you got to believe it. Believe it enough that you'll do it. And when you step out the boat like Peter, you'll walk on top of your problem. Amen. And the closer you get to Jesus, the easier the walking becomes. Amen. And when you get there, don't leave. Amen. Jesus closed the book. I got 15 more minutes. Jesus closed the book and he said, I got 15 more minutes. Nah. Sell out to Jesus is what I'm saying. Yield to the Lord. That's a sacrifice you got to do every day. It's a living sacrifice. Present your body as a living sacrifice unto the Lord. And do it every day. And it says, that's Romans 12, 1 and 2. And verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't be folded, conformed into the image of this world. But be transformed. I like to another world. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and the perfect will of God. You ever heard good, acceptable, perfect? You ever heard 30, 60, 100-fold? I tell you, the 100-fold's in that perfect will of God. That's when you just plant $100, and next thing you know, you ain't got to wait. You know, there's seed time and harvest. It's like God's already, it's chasing you down. Why? Because you've kept him first. You can get to where you walk in the 100-fold. Amen. I'm not there yet, but I'm walking. Amen. And I'm talking. Walking the walk and talking the walk. Amen. And thanking God that Jesus is walking with me. It ain't about me. It's about Christ with me. And I mentioned these 3 weeks ago. See if you remember this. And I'm closing this down here. I promise you. The world, I got four kids. Two of them's been through college. One's in college and one is going to get there one day. Got two more years in high school. But the world, especially the education world, they look for what's your GPA when you're looking for a job? Or what's your GPA? Why don't you tell me what that is? GPA. Did y'all hear that? GPA is your grade point average, right? That's your performance. They're looking for your performance. How have you performed? Jesus performed pretty good for 30 years because they're looking at him. Saying, man, what's going on? I tell you what, he done God good. God done him good. That's the world. They're looking for your GPA. This is what God's looking for, your gap. Come on, if you get anything, he's looking for your gap. His good, his acceptable, and his perfect will. That's the gap. That's what God looks for. He wants you to get to that perfect will. He's concerned about you knowing his good and acceptable and his perfect will. That's what's going to get you over in this world. Because you'll treat people right. You'll love, even when they didn't give you the raise. And you know you worked hard for it. But you know what? You'll just keep loving God, and God will fill in the gap. He'll make up the difference. Right, Cindy? He'll make up the difference. Amen? Now, I'm looking at you, but God's wanting you to know he's going to make up the difference. Amen? He's filling in the gap in Jesus' name. And Cindy knows all about that. I don't know. That's what the Lord says. He's filling in the gap. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. God has anointed you with his Spirit to fulfill your destiny. The anointing, he's put something on you. His Spirit's in you, but he wants to be on you. Thank you, Jesus. And here we go. The last closing. John 15:5. Jesus said, I am the vine and you are the branches. He that abides in me, not hiding, but abiding. He that abides in me, don't hide from God. Don't run from God. I ran from God many. Run to God. You got a problem, run to him. Don't walk, run. Lord, I'm running to you. You know what he'll do? He'll meet you with his good, acceptable, and his perfect will for your life. Amen? He'll give you everything he's got. He's the vine. Abide in him, and I in him. The same bringeth forth much fruit. There's your 100-fold, 100-fold coming. For without Jesus, I can't do nothing. Others may have stumbled upon God's will for their lives, but they don't have the assurance that joy comes. See, people might stumble into the will, but I've got some joy. I have experienced some joy, unspeakable joy. And I just want to tell you, you guys have experienced this with me. And this is just the last one, and there's more to come. So I'm going to tell you about mine, but you'll be expecting your joy. Joy comes in the morning. How many mornings have you experienced the joy of the Lord? Well, if you ain't experienced none, start today. Amen. And don't wait till the morning. Just jump on in the evening and the midday. Amen. But here was something that I knew I was in God's will, and I knew I was created for this purpose when this happened in my life. Now, this is just one of the times, not all the times. When I had a dream, I met Brother Jesse Duplantis in my dream. It's like me and him was on the stage, and he was taking me, and he was showing me his place down there in Destrin, Louisiana. He's been preaching the gospel over 45 years. He's been in hard places, but now he's still hard places, but he's got a worldwide ministry. You know what God's called me to do? Take the word of God to the world? Me? From Mooresville, where they make rabbit hollers? Take the word of God to the world? Maybe be on TV? And he gave me a dream that I would have the opportunity to minister with Jesse Duplantis. Now, that part ain't come to pass yet. Amen. That was 2 years ago. And it still blesses me when I stop and think about the look on Rowan's face. He's not here this morning. But that look on Rowan's face when we was in the second story of his international ministry down there, when Jesse walks out of the office with his shorts on and his T-shirt on, his T-shirt says, I'll be you too. That was 2 years. You got to know that the ministry that Jesus, the message that Jesse had with that T-shirt. We're going to have some T-shirts made in this church. We already got a plan going, don't we, Cindy? So, and he said, I'll be you too. And he comes out there and says, who's these people? What, you know, had a smile. What's going on? Where y'all from? We partners, Jesse. We from Mooresville. And he comes out and starts talking to us and sharing with us and telling us about all these. We're on vacation, just got off the cruise ship. He said, you ain't done eating till you eat in Destrin. He gives us 5-10 places to go eat. He's talking to me like I'm talking to you, like I've known him forever. I had a dream. You know, Martin Luther King had a dream. And he pursued that dream. It was bigger than him. But that's a God dream. And when I saw Rowan's face, here's Rowan. The man's coming out. The man's in the office and he's coming out. Now, this is the man Rowan has grown up listening to him on our TV preaching. Now he's the man. There he is. With his white hair and his white legs. And Jesse's short. You got to understand, Jesse's short. You like Reed. No, Reed, you ain't that short. I think Jesse's actually shorter than you, Reed. But Jesse treated us like family. He didn't treat us like we were nobodies. He didn't ask us how much money we give to his ministry. He treated us like family. Actually, he took us into his office, his personal office, where he does his TV taping. He showed us the Dr. Pepper. I don't know if y'all, everybody's heard when he'd done a 3 or 4 week revival. This is when Jesse started out. Did a 3-4 week revival. You know what they paid him? Dr. Pepper. Gave him a Dr. Pepper. The man hadn't ate. Paid him a Dr. Pepper for doing this for about 3 weeks. And I don't know how many nights he preached. You know what Jesse did? He said, thank you, Jesus. He didn't go back to that church. But he didn't. Those people were not his source. They were not his source. God was his source. You know what? This is the big thing. He never opened the Dr. Pepper. Never opened it. You know, and I'm sitting there with Jesse. I said, you know what, Jesse? I used to work in Harris Teeter, and we saved up bottles. You could get 10, 15 cents on a bottle. I guarantee you that bottle's worth more than what you should have been paid back then. That's a collectible Dr. Pepper. You know what? It won't be sold, because it ain't about the money. It was about God still blessed him regardless if anybody else did. Because why? He knew that's what he was called to do. Whether they paid him or not, Wayne, that's what he was called to do. You're called to minister in music, Wayne. No matter what anybody says, you're making a difference. You're being a blessing. You blessed my mother. She's in heaven now. She heard you in the parking lot. You know what? That blessed her, and it blessed me. It blessed me when he played, when you played. And I've told you, he played at my mother's funeral. You know what he did? And see, to other people, you wouldn't get this. But it's my story. when Wayne finished up, and I wasn't the last pastor preaching. It was the pastor of that church. He's ministering, closing the service. You know what Wayne does? He starts playing that piano. Is it the piano or the organ? The last, I don't care what he played. It wasn't silence. Because you ask Kelsey, I just don't like a silent church. I like something playing. And when Wayne started playing, I'm like, thank you, Jesus. Mama's home. It blessed me, Wayne. What if Wayne had not came when I invited him here to this church to help us through our drive-in service? What if he said, and he had somebody already asking him. But you know what Wayne said? I'll be there. I'll be you too. I'll be your musician. I'll play in the hot parking lot. It was hot. We play some harp. Amen. But he's here. He showed up. And he's blessing me and he's blessing you. And he's going to come up and bless you with his song at the end of this service. I think it's the end. See, when I look up, don't think I pay any attention to that clock. I'm finished with this. It's the conclusion. There's no accident. This was not an accident that I showed, that I did. That dream was by God. God gave me the dream, and if I had not acted, and you can ask my wife, because nobody in that car was as excited to drive 2 hours from where we were going to have, we had to wait for our motel. So in the process, we had like a 3-hour wait. I said, well, I'm driving over to Jesse's place. I'm going to go in and check the place out because we're partners. So I drive up, and they all sitting in the car, and I'm getting out. I said, well, y'all getting out? Well, no, you go check. You know, if somebody's there, we might come in. They all laid back. You know, they tired. They've been eating all week on those cruise ships, been eating chocolate ice cream 24/7. You go check. You know, if somebody's there, they're probably closed. This is middle of the day. I looked at the door. I got there. You know what? No, you got to go in the door. Jesus is the door, but you got to go into Jesus. So I didn't knock. The door was open. You know what I did? I walked right on in. That's what partners do. If you're partners with Jesus, you just walk right on in. Amen? That's your place, partners. This is your place. This is your house. And the secretary met me, and she's like, oh, would y'all like to tour? She's like, y'all, she's prophesying. Yeah, there's some people out in the car don't even think y'all open. I said, yeah, put us down for a full tour. Amen. And they wasn't sure, but they wasn't excited. See, it was my dream. But when I walk out the door, I'm like, hey! So, you know, kind of struggling. You know, Dallas back there, you know, he was ready just to, you know, Dallas, he's just ready for the next thing, you know, and this wasn't his thing. But it turned out to be a blessing. We met Jesse and his wife, his lovely wife, Kathy, the owners, and they showed us the place. And you know what he even did? The church was shut down. I said, Jesse, is there any way we can see? I'd like to see that place where you preach. I saw it in the dream. The dream wasn't over yet. He said, yeah, we'll go over. He said, such a good turn to security people, go turn the air on, go turn the lights on, just for seven people. It costs money to turn all those lights on, crank that air up, call the security guard. You know what? It was the dream. And then through that connection, I just simply said, hey, Jesse, if you're ever in Mooresville, I got a church. I didn't tell him how big it was. He didn't ask. I said, if you're ever in Concord, man, we'd love to hear you come. He said, send me a letterhead, partner. Send me a letterhead. You know what I did? I went home. You know what I did? I wrote a letter. I wrote a letter because that's what he said. See, what has God called you to do? What is he saying? What dreams has he given you? Just act on them. It'll be a good dream. It's probably going to be bigger. Anything you do for God is going to be bigger than you. Amen. This is probably the conclusion here. Because if I hadn't acted, if I hadn't got out of the car, if I just said, yeah, y'all right, let's just go to McDonald's. It wouldn't have came to pass. Jesse wouldn't have came to Concord. People that came to that service that night wouldn't have got their prayers answered. They came and there's people that came and got prayers answered, got delivered from some things. Amen? And it was about God's thing. It cost us a good bit of money, didn't it? But you know what? God told me, you can ask the board members, it ain't about the money, it's about the vision. The money's going to come. That's just a given. You do what God says, it's going to happen, Larry Mullis. So as I stand here, I'm going to give you an invitation. If there's anybody here, or if anybody listening by online, you don't have to walk down here visually, but if you're here today and you've never met Jesus, don't leave this place. As Wayne, we're going to stand and we're going to sing this song together, but if you've never received Jesus, today is your day. Don't leave this place. I'll be glad to pray with you. If you've received Jesus and you never had the Holy Spirit come upon you and spoken in tongues and you know it's different, I'll be glad to pray with you. But that's an invitation I give, and you're the only one that can get up and receive it. It's totally up to you. God will not make you do anything. We just make it available because it happened to me, and I want what happened to my life to happen in yours. Jesus said he wants you to have power to be a witness. So as we stand, let's stand up together. Wayne's going to lead us in this song. If you need prayer, if you need what I ask, if you need anything other than that, think about how God is an awesome God. But if you need prayer, come down here.
Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God. Our God is an awesome God. He reigns from heaven above with wisdom, power, and love. Our God is an awesome God.
God, and I heard him turn it like this and say, how awesome is your God? He's here today proving how awesome God is. I was going to go see him, maybe bring some prayer for all the things he's been through. The righteous may fall, but they shall arise, the Bible says. I've seen my pastor arise through many, many trials in his life, but he knew the trial was not coming from God. The word came from God, and he's a living testimony of all things are possible. If you'll seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, all the things you're believing will come upon you. And I thank God for him and for Wanda for coming alongside him every step of the way. I speak blessings to you, Pastor. I'm a part of your prayer, brother, and I thank you for it. So may the Lord God Almighty bless you. He's an awesome God. Leave this place somewhere and tell somebody how awesome God is in your life. And give him the preeminence that he so gave us through Christ Jesus. Amen. The Lord God Almighty bless you and keep you. May the God I serve lift up his countenance upon you and show the glory like he showed on Jesus. When you pick up the book and live in his glory and his presence, be blessed and come back and see us again in Jesus' name. Amen. Shake somebody's hand, tell them how good God is.
Thank you for joining us today at Word of Faith Worship Center. I pray God's grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you do not know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then according to Romans 10, 8 through 10, the word is nigh unto thee, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach, that if you will confess with your mouth Jesus as your Lord, and believe that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. For with the heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. We would ask you today to simply say, yes, I believe this, and I say yes to Jesus. Now, if you just received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, we would encourage you to get into a good church. Our church is located at 757 Harris Street, Northwest, Concord, North Carolina, 28025. And you can also find us on the internet at wordoffaithworshipcenter.org or wofwc.org. We hope to see you soon. Blessings.